Yes, Father, we thank you for this privilege we have to come into your presence today. Know that you are with us. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds, that we may receive your word, Father, that we may encounter you today in a fresh and a new way. Lord, we pray that you will become alive to us, Lord, as we gather together, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will impart your heart to us, that we may see Jesus more and that we may be changed to become more like him. Lord, we surrender our hearts and our minds to you, Lord, and we ask that you may have your way in us. So we ask for this time, Lord, that you will bless our being together and bless our receiving from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's great to have you here. I'd like to continue with where I stopped off last week. I was just sharing, as it's the beginning of the new year and we came back from a great holiday, I was just trusting God for a word for us as a church for this new year, 2018. And as I was praying, I believe the Lord laid this word on my heart. And I was really seeking God's heart, not just for a word for the church, but a word for us as individuals. God, what is on your heart that you would want to share with us that will sustain us for this year coming forward? And the word that God gave was such a powerful, a simple yet profound word. And it's found here in Isaiah 51 verse 10, where God basically says, I am with you. I'm with you. And I think this is so important for us to just to be able to hear God speak to us as we enter into this new year, that he's saying, I'm with you. And more specifically, yeah, in Isaiah 51, the context is very powerful. It says, fear not, for I'm with you. Fear not. And as we face the uncertainty and the challenges and the unknown and maybe the promises of 2018, know this, fear not. God is saying, fear not, for I am with you. And do not be dismayed, do not be discouraged, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I was really thankful for that word, that it's really a word that can carry us through this year, that God is saying, I'm with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am your God. And I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will uphold you with my right hand. And this is a great word for us personally as we enter into this new year. But then I was also praying and I said, God, what does this mean for us as a church? What are you saying to us as a church? And then the Holy Spirit reminded me here of Matthew 18 verse 20, where Jesus says, and he speaks and he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And this is really a profound and a powerful word for us as a church. And it's something that I really want us just to think about, to meditate upon tonight. When God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. There I am in their midst. There's something mysterious. There's something powerful when we gather together. There's something amazing that happens when believers come together. There's something mysterious, powerful, and amazing that is happening tonight. Even though we're small, even though we're few, yet we are together in His name. God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. And this evening I want us just to think about that again, because this is such a privilege to be together in His name. To worship Him, yes, but more than that, to be with Him. And this is really why we gather together. Throughout the centuries, Christians have gathered together on the first day of the week, on the Sunday. Not on the Sabbath, but on the Sunday, because it was the first day of the week that our Lord was raised from the dead. He was risen, and he overcame death and the power of death. He overcame sin and the consequence of sin, and in a sense his divinity was declared through his resurrection. No other God, no other prophet was ever resurrected. No other prophet ever overcame death. Muhammad, Buddha, they're all dead, but Jesus is alive. And this is the powerful thing. And throughout the centuries, Christians have come together on this day. And this has been a gathering throughout the centuries to come together in His name, to worship Him. Yes, and it's so powerful when we worship together. But more than that, it's to be with Him. When I was in the UK just now. It was such a privilege to go visit some family there. And on the Sundays, I went to church, and first I went to the Shofar congregation, but they're quite small, so they closed over the holiday period. So there was no services. So I went to the next church I could find. And it was such an amazing experience just to go to a place where other believers gather. I didn't know anybody there. As a matter of fact, I didn't really speak to anybody either. But it was so amazing just to be there, because there was something about this gathering that was different than all the other gatherings. It's God was there. And this is the amazing thing. And sometimes even I love doing it when I'm in a foreign country. And I want to really encourage you, if you ever go to a foreign country, don't go to an English-speaking church. Go to a foreign-speaking church. Go to the local churches. Go to a place where you don't understand a word that they're saying. You don't understand the songs that they sing. You don't understand the sermon. But you will experience something being there. And that something that you will experience is so clear, is so evident. Because here in our own culture, in our own language, we're so used to what we do. And we understand what we do. And we relate to what we understand, what we receive. But I want to challenge you, go to a church in a language you do not understand. And you will experience what church is really about. Because in that meeting, you will experience only one thing. The only thing that you will understand is God Himself. Because He's there. And this is the amazing thing about coming together. I've been in church for 44 years, and half of that time I've spent in a full-time capacity. And in those years, I've, especially this last couple of years, I've noted a trend developing in church. It's a trend of moving away from church. There's more and more people breaking away from larger congregations and starting smaller groups, starting house churches and moving away from house churches and watching TBN on a Sunday. And it's so sad to see as people over the years have kind of moved against institutional church and is moving away from big gatherings as believers, but moving into smaller little groups. And from smaller little groups, we end up sitting at home and watching TBN. And don't misunderstand me. TBN is good and there's great stuff on it, you know what? And it's great for during the week. But watching TBN alone is not church. It's not the same. And it's sad to see as time goes on, more and more people move away from the institution of church. And we are scattering all over into smaller little groups. But you know what? Church is God's institution. It's His desire, and God's heart has always been to bring together. It's always bringing the scattered ones together. That's always been God's heart. It's not God's heart to see us move away from church. It's His heart to see us move towards church. And I know there's no perfect church. And you know, the reason there's no perfect church is because it's led by people, imperfect, fallible people. But that's not a reason to break away. That's not a reason to sit at home and watch TBN on yourself. That's not what church is. Church is about coming together. That's always been God's heart. Here in Matthew 9, verse 36, we see, but when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. The scattering away from one another is not God's will. Now, God is like a shepherd that always wants to bring His people together. It's always been God's heart to bring all those who believe in, all those who follow together. And we see that. But this scattering is not the will of God's. It's rather the ploy of the devil. I really believe it's the devil that wants us to scatter, and God that wants to gather, and the devil scatters. Here in Ezekiel, from chapter 34, verse 5, we read, they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the predators of the field. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the face of the earth, and no one searched or sought them. You see, this is so powerful that we do not understand, but when we scatter, we become vulnerable. When we scatter, we become a prey. Not just prey to Satan, but prey to false doctrine and weird teachings. When people break away and form little groups that is isolated from the rest of the body, you see all kinds of things developing. That's not the will and the heart of God. And we become less and less effective the smaller we become. But when we come together, not only in His presence, that there's not just a blessing, but there's a multiplication of our giftings and our callings and our abilities, and we can do so much more. I mean, the very meaning of the word church in Greek, ecclesia, the Strong's Dictionary puts it so powerfully. The word ecclesia literally means a gathering of people called out from their homes into a public place. An assembly. That's really the meaning of the word. What am I stepping on? The meaning of the word. The meaning of the word is literally to be called out of our homes into a public space. Not away from the public space into our homes. But rather out of our homes to a public space to assemble together as we worship God. This is what church is really all about. God's heart is to gather together those who are scattered. And we see that in the early church in Acts, yeah, in chapter 2, verse 44. It's so powerful. Now all who believed were together. And they had all things in common. And yes, they met together in the synagogues and then also from house to house. But there was always a place on the first day of the week that all the believers from all over came together into one place. And when they came together, you know what's the powerful thing? There's something powerful about coming together. It speaks about unity. Something so powerful. When we come together as believers into one place, it facilitates this amazing thing called unity. It's not just, and this is the powerful thing, if you think about it, one of the powerful things about worship is when we come together from different walks of life, from different social economic backgrounds, from different races, from different languages, from different experiences, from different circumstances, we come together in one place for one purpose. And that is to worship God, and to hear from God, and to serve one another. But when we come together as believers in one place and we sing together, that's why it's so powerful to sing together. You know why it's so powerful? Because we sing the same thing. It speaks of unity. We sing the same words. And it's not just me singing it. It's me singing it with others. And there's an agreement in what we sing. And that's so powerful. That's why we sing together. That's why we put the words up there. And I hope that you come often enough to church that you don't need the words anymore. But it's when we sing together, there's a powerful expression of unity because we're singing the same thing. And the same when we give together and we receive together and when we move together in the same direction, following the same vision, there's power in this unity. That's what Psalm 133 talks about. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You see how powerful unity is. You see how beautiful it is when all the believers come together in one place in unity. And it's in this in one place in unity where God commands a blessing. And you know what is this blessing? This blessing is life. God commands a blessing, and this blessing is life forevermore. This is the power of coming together. The second thing that is so powerful when we come together is in our coming together, there is encouragement. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, we read, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's something powerful that happens when we come together, is an encouragement of one another. as we stir one another, we remind one another of the hope, the reason that we come together. The reason we come together is because God loves us so much that He gave His Son so that we might have life. He has redeemed us. He's cleansed us. He's called us into His family, and we are saved, and we are coming together in a response of what He has done for us and all the promises that He's given us. And He who's promised is faithful. So we come together stirring up one another to love and to good works. But it also says that we should not neglect coming together as some has the habit of doing. But rather we should come together for this very reason. And this is one of the powerful things as we stir up one another to love and to good works. Because coming together, we can do so much more. Because we are better together. In this environment of encouragement where we stir up one another to love and to good works. And this is the amazing thing. It's the fact that we are better together. And it's not just vele hande maak ligte werk. It's not just that more hands make work less. That's not why we are better together. No. It is because when we encourage one another to become more like Christ, the motivation of doing what we're doing becomes love. And we start to do what we do motivated by love and not by compulsion, not by duty, not by obligation. It's in love that we become better together, not just in doing together. And this is the amazing thing about coming together. When we understand that it's because of God's love for us that we serve. It is a response. And that's really the difference between a volunteer and a servant. And this is really what we want to move away from, the use of the word volunteer, because with volunteerism, it's normally in a response to a need. And I'm not saying the church doesn't have need. You know, we definitely have needs, and we definitely need people to help us. But we don't want people to help us because there's a need. No, we rather want people to help us out of a response for love for the body of Christ. Out of a response for the love of God and what He has given us. We want to serve God. We want to serve His purposes. We want to serve His kingdom. We want to serve His body, which is the church. So we want to move away from this concept of volunteerism to a concept of serving. Where we serve motivated by love and not compulsion. It's really in this place of encouraging one another to love and to good works from a place of love that we grow. And it's in serving that we become more like Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the one that said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. It's Jesus who washed the feet of His disciples. And after He finished, He said, I've done this for an example for you so that you know how you ought to treat one another. That you will be able to do likewise to one another. That you will serve one another. And this is really what church is about. Church is not just about a place of worship, but it's also a place of serving. Serving the body of Christ, not out of obligation, but because of the love of God. And it's in the serving that we grow to become more like Jesus. It's this privilege where we respond to His love for us. By serving that what He loves. Remember when I'll get to that, but now let me go on, otherwise I'm going to get distracted. Serving in the understanding that the church is the body of Christ. And we are serving Him from a place of gratitude and love. This is what it's about. And it's through the serving that we become more like Him. Ephesians 4 verse 11 says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teaching for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see, when we start to do the work together, the body is edifying. The body is lifted up. The body grows. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed and thrown, carried about by every wind of doctrine and the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a mouthful. But it summarizes what church is all about. When we come together, speaking the truth in love, we are being transformed, we are changed to become more like Jesus. But also, as every joint comes together and supplies, brings what every joint brings. When every joint starts to supply its purpose, its provision, its gift, it's when we work together that the body comes together. And then when every part does its share, it causes growth to the body. It's powerful. You know, sometimes we think it's the preaching that's going to make the church grow, or it's the worship, or it's the ministry, or it's the miracles, and all those things are important. But what makes church grow the most is when every part does its share, loving and giving to one another, serving one another. It's in the serving of one another that the church grows. It is in the loving of one another that the church grows. This is really what changes the world out there. It's not my preaching, not that I'm a good preacher, so it's very liberating for me. But it is the loving of us, the serving of us together that makes the church grow. It says here that from whom the whole body joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself or edifying of itself in love. You see, that's the end goal of church, is that we serve one another in love. You know, church is not just us coming together. It's not just about how we come together. Church is about how we serve together. That's really what the Bible says. It's not so much about how we come together as much as it is about how we serve together. And it's this that will change the world. When the world sees the way we love one another, the way we serve one another, the way we place one another above ourselves and our own interests, and we come together and we're all together, that attracts the world to church. It's not my preaching. It's not the worship. It's not the miracles as much as it is the way we serve one another. Because in serving one another, we become more like Jesus. And in serving one another here at church, we are transformed and changed to become more like Him, that we start to serve those who are outside of the church. And they start to see Jesus in us and they want to have more of this. And you can invite them into a community where everybody serves in love. And their lives will be changed. And this is partly why we do this Activate Month. This is what it's really all about. It is to expose you to the opportunities, to give you and platform where you can serve, but also in that serving to be changed. It is in serving together where every part does its share that causes growth through the body for the edifying of itself in love. But then there's a third thing that happens when we come together that is so much different to when we are home watching TBN on our own. When we come together, there is a belonging. When we come together from our different homes and from our different weeks and our different circumstances and cultures and languages, and we come together in one place, there is a belonging that is established. A belonging, and this belonging is a place from which we grow. Ephesians 2 verse 19 to 22 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place for God in the Spirit." You see, when we come together, there is belonging. And when we come together, we grow. And when we come together, there is purpose. And this purpose is to become more like Jesus. When we meet Him, you know, when no, I mustn't get distracted. this brings me to this powerful understanding of serving. It is as I serve, I am changed to become like Jesus. As I serve, because of what God has given me, and in a response of that, I serve those who He loves. I am changed to become like Him. And this brings us back to the very first verse. The most important reason why we come together. Why we don't stay at home and watch TV in on ourselves. But the most important reason why we come together is because Jesus is here. It's because this is God's heart for church. That we should be together. That we should be one. As He and the Father is one. That we must come into His presence. Matthew 18 verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them. And I just want to ask the ushers if they can prepare for us communion. This coming together in My name, it's not just coming in My name. As a matter of fact, in Greek, it literally means for those who are coming together into My name. It's when we come together for His sake. When we come with a hunger and a desire to be in His presence. When we come together, where there's two or three that comes together with this attitude of really wanting to be with Jesus. Jesus, I'm there with you. And it's in this powerful thing that God is saying that the strength of church is not so much in the size of it, but as it is in the presence of it. So we are meant to come together, and we can be encouraged that tonight, even though we are a handful of people, God is as present here as He was this morning. Because it's not about the numbers as much as it is about our hearts coming together to be in His presence where He is at. And this is the powerful thing. The powerful thing about coming together is it gives us an opportunity to love one another and to serve one another. That's really the power of communion. But if you think about it, remember Jesus when He was asked, and I was so profoundly impacted by this. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, what is the greatest commandment? We all know Jesus' answer is that you must love God. You must love God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your capacity. You must love God with everything. But then Jesus said something profound. He says, equal to this, like this, the same standard, the same stature, the same measure as this first commandment, that you must love God with everything, is that you must love your neighbor. And God was saying something profound. He said, it's not enough that you just love Me. You must also love the ones that I love. And I love your neighbor. I love the people around you. That's why Jesus said, I've given you a new commandment. And by this the world will know that you are My disciples, if you love one another. This is the powerful thing God is saying. Listen, yeah, I love the fact that you love Me, but I want you to love the one next to you. As much as I love them, I want you to be an expression of My love for you, to be an expression for My love for them. And that is why serving is so integral in our growing in knowing God. Because this is who God is. He loves the person next to you. He loves the person in front of you and behind you. He loves every believer, and He loves it when we come together. And He wants us to love each other the way He loves us. It's an expression of that love. That is what makes communion so powerful, isn't it? Because it's again something that we do together. Jesus said, whenever you come together, do this in remembrance of Me. And this is so powerful for us to understand. Jesus said, when you come together, do this in remembrance of Me. And one of the things about this coming together, Jesus is saying, whenever you come together, do not forget why you are here. When you come together, do not forget that it's because of Me that you're coming here. It's not because of the worship. It's not because of the building. It's not because of the preaching or the miracles or the ministry. It's because of Me. Do not forget. So whenever you come together, do this in remembrance of Me. This is My body. And this is why communion is also so powerful. It's something that we do together. And that's why we wait for one another and we eat together and we drink together. And Jesus is saying, this is My body that was broken for you. This is the sacrifice that I've made for you. This is My love expressed to you. I loved you so much, I was willing to humble myself, to take a form of a servant, to come and serve you, to lay down my life for you. This is my body that was broken for you. And this evening, as we partake of communion, I want us to thank God. I'm going to give you a moment where you're just in your own heart, in your own words, you can just thank God for His love for you and His sacrifice. And He's serving you to the point of death on a cross so that you may be free. And I want to give you an opportunity just to thank God for that. But at the same time, I want you to take this opportunity to reflect not just about His body broken for you, but His body being alive in the church. It's so powerful that the church is called the body of Christ. And Jesus is saying, I loved you, I've sacrificed for you, I've laid down my life, and I have served you. And I want us to take this opportunity just to reflect, where do we fit into His body? And how can we serve His body? Not out of obligation, but out of thanksgiving. Out of a response of His love for us, dying for us, giving to us, that we respond by serving those around us, because that's really God's heart. That's why He came. Not just to set us free, but that we can be like Him. That we can change the world, not through war, but through love and servanthood, and humility, and peace. So I want you to take a moment just to thank God for His sacrifice, for His body that was broken, but also take a moment and reflect, how can you serve His body? Let's just do that for a moment. Father, I thank You for loving us so much that You were willing to give us everything. The most precious thing that You had, Lord, You were willing to surrender. You were willing to give. You were willing to send. And Lord, we want to thank You that You were willing to humble Yourself, to become one of us, to become weak and frail, and You took on the form of a servant, not of royalty, not of wealth, but of a servant, Lord. And You came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, we want to thank You that You found us. Lord, we want to thank You for the cost that You paid as Your body was broken for us. Lord, we want to thank You for what You have given us, our salvation. But Lord, we are also reminded today that You not only gave us salvation, You gave us each other. And Lord, as much as Your body was broken for us, Lord, You have raised to new life. Lord, Your body is resurrected. Lord, we want to thank You, Lord, that Your church is also Your body. And those of us together, Lord, though we are different, are part of the same body, Lord, and Your desire for us is to be one as You, the Father, is one. Lord, I ask, Father, that You will help us to see Your grand plan of life when we come together. To be transformed, to become like Your Son, that we may serve one another in the same way that You have served us. And it's in serving one another, it's in serving Your body that the body is edifying and that the body grows. And Lord, we want to thank You for this opportunity to be here together. Lord, I pray that as we celebrate what You have done for us, Lord, that we will also respond by serving one another. So Lord, this evening, Lord, we want to thank You for Your gift. We want to thank You for the reason that we come together on the first day to celebrate what You have done and Your victory. So Lord, as we eat together, we thank You for the sacrifice. In Jesus' name, let us eat together. Lord, we thank You for this cup that is the sign of the new covenant. It's the seal, Lord, that closes the past, our sin and our guilt from us forever and ever, because You have paid the price so that we can be free. Lord, as we drink this cup, Lord, we are not only drink it to salvation, but we drink it to Your purpose. That we might not just love you, but love one another. And Lord, I pray that you will help us, Lord, to serve, Lord, not out of obligation, but out of thanksgiving, that Romans 12 may become true in us, but based on the mercies of God, in response to your great love, we will give ourselves as living sacrifices for you, so that you may be glorified. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, let us drink. I want us to stand and we're just going to end off with a song together. And let us sing this song. Let us not just sing it together, but let's sing it to Jesus. Let's sing it as a declaration of faith. And I want to encourage you, every time you come together, remember why you're coming. You're coming because He is here. That's the first reason why we come together. And the second reason we come together is because it's His purpose for us to be together, so that we can love one another, so that we can be changed in serving one another, to become more like Him, so that when we leave this place, we'll be able to serve those outside, so that they too can come to Him, to know Him, who loves them so much. Let us stand and let us sing together. Father, we pray that as we come together and we serve one another, that we may become more like you, and that you may be glorified in our loving, giving and sharing with one another. But may you be more and more in us, that the world outside may see you and come running to this place where people are loved, accepted and served because they are worthy and valued. Loved. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.